We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, November 9th.
Go Army!
I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class 2014.
I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015, and we've got quite a bit to get into this week.
Indeed we do. It was an absolutely wild, I feel like I say this every week, but it was another wild week of college football. You know, with all of this anticipation coming into the playoff, you know, we're getting into crunch time for a lot of these teams, and every single game matters. So when you have, you know, undefeated teams dropping their first game, or you have other position people trying to eke their way up to the playoff, tensions are high. So, and they're just getting higher as we go.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, one game I remarked on last week that I'm glad it played out kind of the way it did. We didn't pick it, but that Wisconsin game.
Yeah.
I said, like, watch out going to Madison, you know.
You weren't wrong.
Yeah, going to Madison, not Madisonville. They didn't play in the home of the Mustangs. But Madison, weird things happen in Madison. So that was the game, at least, you know, was entertaining. Not one we picked, but it's just, you know, it's funny because you get towards the end of the year and you feel like the games matter a whole lot more. But the reality is these games only matter because early in the year you did what you were supposed to do. So those games matter just as much.
Oh, yeah.
When you're in the first few weeks of the season, you're at such, you know, you're looking at the season and the playoffs and the rankings from such a distance, you know, because you know that so much is going to change and you know, there's so much fluidity within it. But let's get into our game first, right? Played New Mexico State. We can kind of get through this pretty quickly.
Sure.
Thought Marcel Reed looked good. I was thrilled. We've been banging this drum all season. The tight ends got involved. You know, tight ends went for, I think, like 160 or so combined. Tight ends are a quarterback's best friend. You know, tight ends and especially Watson and Theo, you know, they're both big dudes. And I get that it's against New Mexico State, but we used them. I don't care who it's against. We used our tight ends. So I was thrilled to see them included in the passing game. Theo went for over 100 yards. Watson had a handful of catches. I think he was around like 40, 50 yards, something like that. Maybe 60.
67 yards of offense.
Yeah. So that's almost 200 yards receiving from our tight ends.
Yeah.
So you love to see that. And you also love to see that we haven't done it all year. And now it's a wrinkle that Auburn and Texas are going to have to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that they've got a plan for now.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole point of this game, I thought, kind of coming in early, right? We were discussing, a lot of things that we may need to see a little differently from our offense because we've been so run focused with Le'Veon Moss, and obviously losing him in the South Carolina game was a big hurdle that we would have to come over as the rest of the season. As the rest of the season kind of cruises along. But we mentioned ahead of time that the tight ends were an underutilized position considering the talent we had at the position and the utilization of them earlier in the season, namely in the Florida game, as well as a few others. But it felt like we got hyper-focused on the run game and then allowing Reed to then throw over the top whenever we had the opportunity. Having the option now at tight end, and we've shown that we have the ability to do so, was good. The other thing I really liked in this game was that we did not overutilize Amari Daniels. We know what he's capable of, and you saw it on the second drive of the game. Like, first play from scrimmage breaks off a massive 71-yard touchdown run, you know, and that's something that you love to see out of the offense. But that also allowed you to, okay, we know what he's capable of. We need to start giving reps to other guys like EJ Smith. And
we've got to keep him healthy. You know, yes. Don't get dinged up in a game like New Mexico State. So. Right. Some people are kind of calling it a lackluster, kind of a blah win. I'm okay with what I saw, quite frankly. I mean, we could pick into this game, but I'm not going to do it. Not for a New Mexico State game.
No.
Yeah, the only thing that I found probably concerning was penalties again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, there's it's this is just kind of who we are. So I mean, you can say, hopefully they'll clean it up, but the reality is we have two games left in this regular season. Are they
Well,
gonna clean it up, really? Are they? They're averaging over 70, like 8 yards a game in penalties the last three games.
right, and I think the thing that just irritated me more than anything was those penalties. And I mean, because I mean, yeah, you can laugh at them now, but let's say we have a critical third down against Texas, and all of a sudden you have a Turner or whoever, anybody, make a bonehead mistake, go a little long at the end of the play, drive a guy, let your frustrations come out. That turns into a 15-yard personal foul. That's going to hurt this team in these
Well, and
last couple games.
we talked about that. That it's penalties within the course of play are going to occur, man. Guys are going to hold. It's going to happen. You're
There's going to be
going to have,
PI,
illegal cut or defensive holding. That stuff's just going to happen. Now against Texas, whether it actually occurred or not, doesn't necessarily matter if the flag will get thrown. But it's the pre and post snap stuff that just it drives you batty and. The pre-snap stuff is just bonehead mistakes. It's
Correct.
just, but I mean, you're not going to fix this with two games left. The post-snap crap, it's, and again, I mean, how do you fix it with two games left? I love his intensity and everything, but there's, it's a lack of self-control that hopefully doesn't come to bite you in an incredibly important situation. It's all fun and games when it happens against New Mexico State,
Right.
but.
It's not going to be any fun against Auburn, and it's certainly not going to be any fun against Texas. I mean,
But you're not going to take him off the field, though. He's such a talent. So it's just, it's kind of one of those, I guess you have to live with him kind of things. But overall, it's a win. I'm not going to complain about a win. Got plenty of backups, reps, senior day. It felt like he damn near played everybody that was in pads.
yeah.
Loved seeing that. The 12th man, it's just, I loved it all. And one thing I do want to remark before we move on, because again, like I said, it's New Mexico State. There's not a lot to glean from this.
Sure.
The decision to move senior day up, and I don't know if you've seen a lot of this discussion, but generally you do it the last home game of the year, right? But
Right.
our last home game of the year this year is against Texas. And assuming that we go to Auburn and do what we're supposed to, and beat Auburn, then that game is going, look, everything, this town is going to have a palpable buzz to it, literally.
Right.
The people that live here are going to have to plan their shopping and ensure that they have everything they need well in advance of the weekend because you're not going to want to get in your car and drive around this town.
No, I was talking with a handful of guys over the lounge earlier this week, and we were all saying the exact same thing. Basically, boils down to this might be one of the biggest weekends in College Station, or just generally across this entire state of Texas. You're looking at the amount of eyes that are going to be on College Station, the likelihood, and I stress likelihood, that you're going to see College Game Day in town again, because they're going to sit here and look at this as well. This is the renewing of a rivalry. There's not going to be a more viewed game. I'm going to
I
say
will
there's not
be.
going to be a more viewed regular season game in the country. There may not be another as well viewed game until the national title itself. That's the kind of exposure this game is going to have because of the, all the storylines, the implications, the fact that if we win and Texas wins, which they obviously should, all of a sudden this is a play-in game for the SEC title and potentially the playoff. And it's a big, big deal.
Yeah, I mean it's every storyline you could ask for. And we're not going to pick the Texas game this week. They've got Kentucky at home, 2:30 slot.
They should cruise.
They should cruise. The only thing you can hope for as an Aggie is that Kentucky will kind of batter and bruise them a little bit.
Be
Make them
nice.
make them fight for it, get a little dinged up. Kentucky is kind of that squad. They're used to not playing for anything and still playing hard. Quite frankly, I don't care if I offend anybody with that statement, it's true. I
You're
mean,
right.
Kentucky isn't a successful football program historically. All the focus in Kentucky is on basketball and has been for as long as I can remember.
Right.
And so, but they'll go out there and they'll play hard. That's their brand of football. So, and you never know, right? You never know. But realistically, Texas should cruise. And that kind of brings us to our game against Auburn. Do you want to do it now or do you want to put it at the end?
I mean, we can talk a little bit about it now. So yeah, we got our upcoming matchup here with Auburn.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get through everything else first,
All right.
because it's obviously one of our picks.
Sure.
So when we get to that, we'll do a moderately deep dive on it.
Okay.
Nothing insane.
Yeah, let's get
But
into the picks.
yeah, so last week we both went 3-2. So there could have been some movement and there was not. So I'm still behind. You are at 33-27. Or I'm at 33-27. You are at 36-24. We're both still above 500. So there's that.
Good place to be.
And before we round up the picks from last week, so I start, I had to start a new page because I'm old school and I write things down literally,
Yeah.
ink to paper.
Right.
So I started a new page and across the top, it's where I keep our weekly records, and I transfer our season projection from before the season started. You had us at 9-3, 10-3 with a bowl. How are you feeling about that?
I mean, it still looks about right on the money at the moment. As far as like if you're going off of what the matchup predictors and everybody are going to say for the rest of the season. Yeah, I mean, you anticipate to beat Auburn, and everybody seems to think you're going to lose to Texas. So that prediction is sitting okay. I've got no issues with that prediction. I'm thrilled at the prospect that we're going to beat it.
I was at 10-2 regular season, which means we beat Auburn and we beat the Sips,
Which is also very on the table.
and 11-3, which means that's maybe winning the SEC and losing first round. I don't know how that would work out. 11-3 doesn't. I didn't really think through that, but I also didn't know that we were gonna have 1,000,002 lost teams in the SEC and just
Right.
how the season's played out. So I don't know how 11-3 works, to be honest, because I don't think you win the SEC championship and then lose your first round home game.
Right.
But I'll stick with it. Whatever. Yeah, there's no changing it now,
No
right?
change now.
This
But the
is.
thing is, neither one of us were sunshine pumping too much, and none of us were doom and gloom. We were at a point where it's like, okay, we're gonna be competitive and we're gonna be in the chat. Yeah, we're gonna be in the chat. And that's where we're at. I mean, it's not a bad spot to be.
Well, and what's funny is you talk to a lot of people that are just up in arms about how this season could wind up. I'd love to go back to them before the season and ask them what they thought we were going to be under a re. Everybody was like rebuilding year under Mike Elko and this and that. 8-4,
Right.
9-3, that's great. And now we have the potential to be 10-2, and there are people still jumping from the cliffs. I don't understand how they wake up every day and literally navigate life.
Well, let's say this year has already been more than exceeding expectations. We've never started as good an SEC play as we have this season, and that's with a first year coach. Look at the rest of the SEC, and you can say, well, there's a lot more parity, kind of across the entire league this year. You didn't have just one team that just is blowing everybody away, which is typical.
Which
But
we all thought would be Georgia.
we thought it would be Georgia, and it turns out may not be Georgia. It certainly doesn't look that way.
I mean, Georgia's loss. So I mean,
Yeah.
there's nobody just running away with this thing.
No.
So it, yeah, a lot more parity, or maybe just Georgia came back to the pack. Maybe I think might be a little bit more accurate.
True.
So the last week picks. First one we picked was number 15 LSU on the road at Florida. For some reason, I put my pick on Brian Kelly because I'm a moron. Billy Napier just kind of keeps saving his job.
Yeah. This particular game, it feels like there's been momentum behind Florida recently. Even in their losses, it's like they've shown
Feels like
some
they've been playing better.
right. And yeah, they lost to Texas poorly on the road, but at the end of that particular game, you weren't running out your starting quarterback. You just the energy of the building wasn't it, and it was an 11 o'clock kick. You were always going to struggle in that game.
How many backup and third string quarterbacks have the Sips faced this year? It's unbelievable.
Too many. It was too many. But
But I was yeah, Florida played well. LSU still can't defend a running quarterback, and here we are.
yep.
And I couldn't be happier about it because I can't stand LSU and I really don't care for Brian Kelly, but they're stuck with him because until they rob another children's hospital, they can't afford his buyout.
It's really funny because LSU, it's somebody made a really interesting point. They were showing the video of their players getting all, hyped up and getting in our guy's face, right, during warm-ups and whatnot. And somebody said, well, you realize LSU's 0-3 since that happened. And I'm like, you just hate to see it, don't you? You just
It
hate.
really isn't, it really isn't all bark, no bite.
It's incredible. Like LSU has lost their teeth this year. It's insane.
That's a shame.
And frankly should be at an even worse record than they currently are if you didn't, walk away with a bunch of BS in that South Carolina game or otherwise, like
And
you could be way worse.
if that South Carolina game outcome is different, then all of a sudden our loss to South Carolina doesn't look as bad.
No, it does
In fact,
not.
South Carolina may have been favored in that game with us walking in, in that game. So,
Right.
but it didn't happen. So all the what ifs in the world's, not going to matter.
That'll matter.
If all the ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right?
Amen to that. Next
All right,
game.
next one we picked was Kansas on the road at BYU.
You know what? Good on you, Jayhawks. Nobody on the planet outside of maybe Roy May was really giving you love. And I was looking at the BYU situation in the thought process that, well, they're trying to protect this team as a potential playoff contender. Clearly, Kansas had something to say about that, and I'm okay with it.
Well, and I thought that then, Kansas coming off the week prior, beating a ranked Iowa State, ranked at the time. I don't know if they are still. They were 17 when they lost to Kansas, so I don't know if they're still ranked or not. If they are, probably they're barely holding on to the top 25.
If
But
that,
they
yeah.
beat a ranked Iowa State team at home, and you felt like maybe there were some momentum going for Kansas. And that's why I picked them on the road. An upset's got to happen late in the year. It just has to.
Yep.
And so, I picked Kansas, and I watched just about all of that game. Man, Kansas earned that victory. Just
100%.
straight up. It was a great game. I'm happy for Kansas. I'm thrilled that BYU lost. I can't. Being undefeated in the Big 12 just doesn't say a lot to me.
It doesn't, especially in the modern sense of what the Big 12 is. I mean, you don't have any of those big names that were kind of the dominant names in the conference, with obviously Texas and Oklahoma. They're both out. So where you're sitting now, it does feel like just kind of a, I won't call it a super mid-tier league, but it's not the same kind of league that it used to be. Big 12, when it was founded in 96, that was a hell of a football league back then.
It's scraps, it's piecemealed together now, and it
Right.
begs the question. Because we're all looking at it as the Power Four are going to be the top four seeds, like Power Four Conference Championship, you're going to be the top four seeds, right? Well, it begs the question of why.
It does. Well, and I understand the logic behind it because the whole concept of you winning your conference should, that should carry weight. I
But
think that, but I
if
think
your
that should.
conference.
It should carry weight for you to make the playoff, but not necessarily be seated higher than everybody else.
That's my take. I'm not saying
Yeah.
they don't make the playoffs. That's crazy talk.
Right.
But you look at it in the sense of like, look at the Big 12 this year. Wow, you won the Big 12.
Well, let's just take a hypothetical real quick. Let's say you have maybe a 2 or 3 loss, whoever make the Big 12 title game, and they somehow win it. So you have a 3-loss team as like the 4 seed overall. And let's say they host, one loss, whoever,
Yeah, it just.
in the 4th round, and you're getting your brakes beaten off because that team is way better than you are.
Yeah,
So
because you
it's
somehow eked out a victory in the Big 12 championship game.
right.
So that's. And again, we're in the first year of this. I think expansion is automatically on the horizon, quite frankly.
I could see 16 pretty quick.
I could see 16. I think you need to take the bye weeks out of it.
Yeah.
The top four, I think everybody needs to be playing every weekend. I think that is a wildly unfair advantage.
Well, and not to mention when you are playing every weekend, that keeps you on a schedule, that keeps you moving forward. I always like the idea of consistently playing through the rest of the playoff because that way everybody does have a fairly decent balance. Like nobody's getting any kind of additional advantage. If you want to earn that playoff victory, you got to earn that.
Yeah, where your bye weeks fall during the regular season. Everybody gets the same amount of bye weeks in the SEC, and
Right.
sometimes they fall where it's fair, and sometimes other teams it falls right before yours. It's just that's part of it. But
Again.
I get that college football is obviously moving towards the NFL model. I just wish they wouldn't fully embrace it.
I agree.
I think those bye weeks are a detriment to the product that we could be putting on the field on campus.
Well, and you want to talk about a great example of being able to power through without bye weeks? Just look at Texas A&M football in 2012. We had a season where we had a bye week, one bye week that was built in. And unfortunately, thanks to a tropical storm in the Gulf, we moved our game with La Tech, which was supposed to kick off that season, to the bye week because we both had the same bye week. So we played pretty much Iron Man football 12 straight weeks.
Yep.
No bye week. And we still walked out with a 10-2 record and a Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, and you didn't have that warm-up game before Florida.
Right, which, always begs the question of, if that season had played out a little differently, does A&M potentially win a national title in 2012? Because you go through the rest of that season, I still say you lose that LSU game. But if you go through the rest of that season, you beat Alabama, you go take on Georgia in the SEC title, and the way Johnny was playing, I like us against that Georgia team, and nobody in the top 10 was losing to Notre Dame that year.
I don't think there's any way we don't win the national championship if we're able to beat Florida.
I agree.
Like, given the LSU loss, there's just nobody had an answer for it.
No.
All right, so next pick, we'll get through this quick. Sips at Arkansas. Of course, they don't have to play a late kick, of course. I thought they looked very pedestrian against a pretty bad Arkansas team, quite frankly. Sam
Yeah.
Pittman lives to sit on a hot seat.
He does look sit on a hot seat. Showed some signs of life there. And even kind of getting late in the third quarter there, a lot of people were wondering, all right, is can
And
Arkansas
they do
potentially
it.
pull this off? And
They're
Texas,
kept hanging around and hanging
yeah.
around. And that's, if you're a Texas fan, you don't want to see Texas let the likes of Arkansas hang around.
No, and yeah, you're on the road in the SEC against a team that really doesn't like you and a school that really doesn't like you. And you walk out with a 10-point win. Sure, that's a good win. But yeah, that's something to keep in mind, as you're kind of going forward in the rest of the season. It's not a team that I think you can afford to really give them too much confidence.
When you're number five team in the nation and you get to play at an 11 o'clock game on the road, you
Yeah.
should, by the middle of the third quarter, Archie Manning should have been in. So it just begs the question again, are they number five? And it's interesting to start to see the national narrative kind of turn against them a little bit.
It has. You've seen a lot of people talk about their record and say, well, do they have any top 25 wins current? I mean, granted, do we?
Yeah.
We'll find out. But if you look at what's happened with Texas and the schedule, the way it's played out, if you look at their opponents, they largely haven't done very well. And the one team that was an upper echelon SEC team, they lost by 15 at home and frankly should have been worse than that.
We're also not ranked fifth in the nation and everybody picking us to win the national championship.
Right.
So, I mean, if it was apples to apples, we'd be getting the same hype. So again, it's the same hype train and they can go screw themselves.
It is what it is.
Tennessee goes on the road to Georgia, and Georgia was 10-point favorites, and we were all thinking that was crazy. And then good Carson Beck showed up.
Yeah, I mean, he goes what 25 for 40 with 347 yards passing, two
Against
touchdowns.
a defense that a lot of people say is one of the best in the nation.
Yeah.
That was Tennessee was going into a buzzsaw playing in Athens, and the wild card was Carson Beck. And when good Carson Beck shows up, Georgia is damn near impossible to beat.
Yeah. Well, and see that goes back to the Texas thing we talked about. 'Cause did they get good Carson Beck against him?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, because when you get bad Carson Beck, Georgia's still really hard to beat, though.
They are. They absolutely are. Nobody's going to deny that. But you have got good Carson Beck, who went out there, did his job,
He lit it up.
lit it up. And
Absolutely lit it up. Georgia looked like world beaters against Tennessee.
it was funny because, you and I both last week were looking at this game like, man, Tennessee's a juicy pick in this game, man. Tennessee's a juicy pick. And then we both ended up going with Georgia. And I think that was That was the right move.
Well, and there was some news about the Tennessee quarterback being dinged up, kind
Sure.
of heading into this. And so, but still, you at least thought the Tennessee defense would be able to shut down Georgia, given kind of what we thought of the Tennessee defense. So now, even this late in the season, there's still some teams possibly getting exposed. Is the
Yeah.
Tennessee defense as good as we thought they were? I don't know. Or is it when Garson Beck is on, nobody can beat Georgia?
Yeah, I really don't know, but that unfortunately brings Tennessee, for them, it brings them back down to reality. Now you're another two-loss conference team and really in no position to make the SEC title at this point.
Yeah, no, it would take a lot to happen this coming weekend, quite frankly.
Yeah, next couple of weekends.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of your own business on top of that, which, that's the biggest issue every week is taking care of your own business.
Yeah, well, and needing help though, and that's a terrible
Yeah.
situation to be in.
Nobody wants to be in that situation now.
Yeah. Now, last one we picked, Tulane Navy. Look, we both love America. I get it, but we both picked Tulane. Like, come on. Like, Navy had oh, I can't remember what it was. Oh no, I was looking at another stat. That's for a game we're going into this week.
Okay.
But Tulane just pasted Navy. Navy couldn't move the ball.
No.
And I don't know that Tulane is that good. I mean, they were only favored by 6.5, but Navy continuously shot themselves in the foot.
I mean, it's a couple turnovers didn't help, and
Yeah,
then getting no time to possession, total
If
yards.
your service academy and you're not dominating the time of possession, the games are ugly
Yeah.
because your defense isn't big enough or fast enough. And that's just a fact. Your de like the kids that go to the academies as a whole, and there are some outliers, but as a whole, they're not as big and they're not as fast as any D1 opponent they're going to face, or at
Right.
least like conference D1 opponent. So it's. So the funny thing about that game, though, is by winning that game, Tulane secured their spot in the conference championship game,
Against
and by
Army.
beating Navy, they confirmed Army's spot in the championship game against Tulane.
Yep.
So
Works
Navy
out.
takes it in the pants twice last weekend.
Yeah, that's got to be double brutal, right? It's like not only did we lose and lost our shot at the game, but we've confirmed that our bitter rival is in there. Gah! But that's just the beauty of it. Yeah, it's the beauty of college football. Sometimes
Dude,
you take it in the pants more than once in a week.
it's the greatest. I mean, oh well. I will say the one reason that I am glad, and not because just that they're Navy, but the reason I'm glad that they're not in the conference championship against Army is because playing Navy twice in a year would be really weird,
Yeah, it would be.
especially when the conference game is before the Army Navy game.
Right.
Right,
Did,
like
yeah.
I mean,
It's gonna be weird. That's all we know for sure. It's gonna be weird.
yeah, but it won't happen this year, so
No.
that they don't have to play Navy 2 weekends in a row, which that I can't even fathom having to do that 2 weekends in a row. Like,
Yeah.
do you even care about the conference championship game at that point? I mean, do you? I mean, I know you do because you want to win the conference, but like the Army Navy game's America's game, so that would have been a really weird situation. So
I do
get
want to
on you, Green Wave.
make good on the green wave. I want to make one quick shout out. UNM taking down Washington State last week by a final score of 38-35. Their first win over a ranked opponent in four freaking ever. I couldn't tell you the last time they did that.
So long, they don't even know the stats.
I don't even know. Like, and the best part of the whole situation was fourth quarter. UNM pulls ahead with like about 5 minutes to go with a field goal. Washington State goes the other direction, proceeds to take the lead, and then with 21 seconds to go, UNM goes back the other direction to retake the lead. Love,
That's
gotta love college football.
oh man, it's the great it's seriously. How
It's
can you
so.
not be romantic about college
And it was a home
football?
game for UNM. They rushed the field. It was a whole deal. Like they don't have a lot to get excited about in Albuquerque when it comes to college football. So that was a
Yeah,
cool.
how crowded does that field get when they rush the field? I feel like this.
I mean, hell, the stadium only holds about 35,000 people, it's just,
That's
it's
funny.
not a big stadium, man.
That's funny. Well, good on them then.
Yeah, good on them though. I'm sorry. I generally love to give the hobo lobos a lot of hell, but you know what? Good on you this time.
Hobo Lobos. That's I mean,
There's literal homeless people across the street from the university. It's a thing.
sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, the only difference is our tent cities in College Station tend to disappear after about, a day. Anyhow, in case you didn't, if you didn't see the videos from Kyle Field this week, I mean, it literally looked like a tent city all up and down over there by Kyle for
It
ticket
did.
pull. They
It
sold
did.
out. They sold out of tickets on day one for
Well,
student.
so they canceled guest passes
Right.
and they put a release out that if you have a sports pass, you are guaranteed a ticket up to like a certain date and time.
All right, good.
So you might be standing, but you'll be in the building.
At least you'll be there. Yeah.
I don't know how many Benjamins they had to slip to the fire marshal to be like, why don't you take the night off? But
There's gonna be a lot of people there.
it's gonna be bonkers. And next week's podcast will be really intense. I'm trying to pace myself. We're gonna need to hydrate, and everybody's probably gonna need to turn the volume down listening to it.
Oh,
If
yes.
not, maybe also don't watch it at work or listen to it at work or around children.
Rip headphone users. It might get a little loud, but it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
That's the exciting part.
All right, but in the meantime, there's still football to play between now and when we play the Sips. So
Yes, we have a whole another week.
we do. There's a whole week of football where a whole lot of crazy things could happen. Hopefully not on our end.
Right.
So ran through the top 25 and found some a couple of tight lines.
Sure.
So following their loss at home, BYU goes on the road to Arizona State. Number six BYU on the road are 3.5 point dogs to Arizona State. So all of a sudden, Vegas has completely flipped on BYU.
Well, and that's a really interesting point, right? I mean, you've seen, obviously, they get a little bit of credence. It's like, well, you continue to be undefeated, and that gives you some credit. All of a sudden, you take an L, and you got an 8-2 Arizona State team. Like I said, not a bad Arizona State team.
Kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, I mean, early in the season, we weren't talking about it much, and they dropped. I mean, I'm trying to remember what game they lost that really just kind of took me off of their wagon. Yeah, they lost to Texas Tech, and then they lost to Cincinnati. When they lost those two games, I was just like, who are these? What are they doing? And then ever
Yeah.
since then, they have continued to roll.
Yeah, no, they've been on a roll. So I mean, I get it. And they're ranked, right? They're 21st, I believe.
Yeah, and well, they just took down number 16, Kansas State, at Kansas State.
Yeah, so I get the Vegas draw on this, but that's a quick jump from an undefeated going to the playoffs first round by BYU. But I
Right.
think we saw it the week before when the line was only 3 at home against Kansas. And not a great Kansas team by any
Right.
means. So this could be a real interesting one because BYU could go from playoffs to done
Oh,
in 2 weeks.
immediately.
In 2 weeks. And Arizona State, could potentially position themselves to win the Big 12.
I mean, at least get themselves in the conversation.
Right, because they're 5-2 in conference, so they'd go to 6-2. BYU'd go to 6-2, so they'd have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And the only one close is Iowa State. I don't know who they're playing. I don't really care. But
Right.
then you have Colorado, who obviously Iowa State's on the road at Utah this week. But you've got and Iowa State's still ranked actually.
Okay.
And so, like all of a sudden, the top of the Big 12 is getting real muddy.
It is. And with a bunch of really tight matchups coming up here, and I'm sure
Well,
there's another one we're going to touch on here in a minute, but
yep, that's the next one. I bet you and I are talking about the same one.
Yep.
So let's
So
stay on this one real quick.
let's stay on this one for a minute. I mean,
So number six BYU goes on the road to Arizona State after taking their first L of the year at home against the Jayhawks. It's a 3.5 point spread for the Sun Devils. I got to be honest, I don't know how to pick this one.
it's yeah. Well, I mean, Arizona State coming off of a big road win, coming back home. You got to think the fan base is a bit energized. You got to think that the team is a little energized. You're
There's a
looking
big light at the end of the tunnel for Arizona State. They could potentially win the Big 12 and go to the playoffs.
well, and if you're BYU, this is a dangerous situation because you're in the water and now you have a cut and there's sharks and those sharks are Arizona State and they're smelling it. You got to
Yeah.
think that they're looking at this as an opportunity that we can launch ourselves. Now, when you're in those positions, that's kind of a double-sided sword, right? You're going to have a situation where maybe, just maybe, you overexert yourself, you try to do too much, and you're going to allow BYU to find a way to win that ball game. That being said, though, I like where Arizona State's at now. What I've been seeing from them lately, like when I checked out those last several scores and went back and saw a couple highlights, I did go check out their Kansas State game. They looked pretty darn good. So when I see that and I see what's going on with BYU and kind of how they've been trending the last couple of weeks, kind of leading into this whole situation of, well, you squeak by Utah and then you proceed to lose at home to Kansas. Now you got to wonder, where are they sitting? Where are they at mentally?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's almost the equivalent of having lost 2 weeks in a row because, quite frankly, they barely got by Utah, and they shouldn't have. This is a tough one because at the same time, you go into fight or flight mode. BYU understands what's on the line. This, I mean, their whole season is now.
It's hanging by a thread.
Because no offense to U of H, but that's not a football game.
Well, and I mean, I'm just looking back right now. I mean,
Houston going on the road on the 30th to play BYU, and a Houston team that's what damn near leather bottom of the barrel in the Big 12.
not good.
So this is BYU season. So a lot of that could play into this too as well. Like, they understand the importance of this game. That said, oh man, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to take Arizona State. I'm going to take him at home. I think BYU's a little mentally battered at this point after 2 straight weeks. One, a super tight emotional game, a rivalry game with Utah, and then go at home losing to Kansas, like at home. So I'm going to take the Sun Devils in this one.
I will also be taking the Sun Devils. And honestly, a lot of it just boils down to the fact that my dad is an alum, and I will support the Sun
Well,
Devils at any cost.
I could, I mean, I could just see where, because it's always chaos, right? When we get towards the end of the season, the chaos occurs, and BYU kind of started it last week, like in their own world, their own chaos. And I like where Arizona State's at. And again, Vegas is really wrong.
They've been on it recently for the most part. I've been seeing at
I mean,
least
they missed on BYU, but it was an
sure.
undefeated BYU at home against Kansas.
Right.
But now,
They've been picking pretty close.
well, yeah, Vegas doesn't pay their own light bills, man. It's because we're idiots and they're not.
Exactly.
So I've got the Sun Devils. So, and
Same.
that leads into the other game we were talking. I'm guessing you were probably looking at the same one. Number 17, Colorado goes on the road to Lawrence to play Kansas. They're only 3-point favorites.
I know.
And if you've seen how Colorado's playing, they are playing really well. And not to mention just really well, Deion is running up stats trying to get a Heisman to Colorado.
Okay. Game is taking place at Arrowhead.
Oh, that's right. This one's at Arrowhead.
This one's at Arrowhead. So you've got Kansas City. And I mean, that's still going to be a big home game for Kansas because there's going to be a ton of Jayhawk fans there. There's no doubt. There's so many alums in the Kansas City area because Lawrence is like right there. So,
Yeah, but being a neutral site game, I wonder how the ticket allotment was if they're trying to do 50-50 because Colorado's rolling.
well, and with this being a neutral site game, I mean, that means Colorado
It's
at 2.5.
quote unquote neutral site.
I say neutral site game, but that puts Colorado 2.5. So you got to think if they had this game in Lawrence, does that lean Kansas a bit? Or, what's the rest of that situation look like?
Yeah, it's hard to pick against Colorado because they feel like they're rolling. And they're the media. See, that I'm about to contradict myself here.
You're good.
They're the media darlings, just like BYU were. Do we see more chaos? Can Kansas keep this up? They've beat Iowa State at home, a ranked Iowa State team. They went on the road and beat an undefeated BYU team. Can they go to Arrowhead and beat Colorado?
Probably not, but it would be nice.
Probably not.
I'll be honest. So, I mean, looking at Kansas right now, it's one of those situations. They are sitting like where are we at? 4-6, 3-4 in conference. You are more or less in salvage mode for your season, right? I mean, that's where they've been the last few weeks. And that's the trouble in these situations when you have a team that is in salvage mode, you have no clue what kind of ball club you're going to be getting in the building. They have been trending positively over the last several weeks.
They could make a bowl game.
I mean, yeah, they lose to Arizona State, sure. And then you turn around, you beat the dog out of Houston. Granted, Houston's booty. We've already discussed this.
They
And then
kept it close against what we now know is a good Arizona State team, though.
well, and not to mention, you lose by 2 points to your bitter rival on the road. And as opposed to taking that on the chin, oh, woe is us, this sucks, I can't believe we lost this game. No, we're going on the road and we're going to kick the shit out of Iowa State. And then we're going to do the same to BYU on the road.
No, they did. No, Iowa State was at home.
That's what I meant. Like, you bet Iowa State at home, then you turn around and beat BYU on the road. And
Undefeated
now,
BYU.
yeah, undefeated BYU on the road. And now you have this little fat M word we like to call momentum as you're coming into Arrowhead, and you're going to be playing in front of a very large crowd, I would hope. Maybe there's some Kansas fans that are just looking at this as an opportunity to play a little spoiler.
Oh, man, Colorado's rolling, man. I don't know,
They
but
are
I'm also
very
like
good.
one of the I'm like a residential Colorado hater. So.
Well, and I'm with you. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of back and forth when it comes to Colorado, because a lot of people get a feel one way or the other about how they approach their recruiting, how they approach the game, how they approach yada 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 yada.
Yeah.
But there's no doubting the production. I mean,
No. No, Shakur Sanders and Travis Hunter are having fantastic years.
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding years. And it's ridiculous.
I don't know who you got, man. I just this feels like this feels like a Heisman statement game for Travis Hunter. And you know Dion will run it up and give him Heisman stats.
I hate what I'm seeing out of Colorado. I would love to see Kansas win this game. I would love to see Kansas rock and roll, which is exactly why I have to pick Colorado in this game. Because you got to think, man, you got to think that they're going to go out here and really try to light it up quite a bit.
Yeah, premier game, neutral site. You
Yeah.
know, a lot of eyes are going to be on this game.
Well, and you have to ask yourself, how much gas does Kansas really have left in the tank? I mean, if you go back to back weeks winning ranked against ranked opponents and falling just short of a third ranked opponent whenever you were playing Kansas State, now you got to play Colorado. And that's a Colorado team that's looking at you like, I'm ready to carve. It's time to build up. So Colorado.
And that's why they have just enough gas left in the tank. Rock chalk.
I'll be okay with it.
Kansas continues to roll. They eke out a win over Colorado. Kill another media darling, and on their way to being literally 6-6 and going to the toilet bowl. But I've got Kansas shocking the world, or at least the tiny little bubble world of the Big 12, and then some of us that are watching from afar.
I'm okay with it. Like I said, once again, anytime Kansas wins these games, I am way okay with it. It's just, if this is the dynamic that means that these teams have to lose, I have to keep picking against them, I'm okay with it.
Well, then I've got next one for you. Vanderbilt's going on the road to LSU, and LSU is 8-point favorites.
Damn
But
it.
where is LSU's head?
All the way up its ass right now.
That's fact, Jack.
Yes, that is.
I think this is just one of those games, and that's why I put it on here for us to pick. I could see LSU mailing it in.
You have, mind you have 6-4 LSU and 6-4 Vanderbilt, both at 3-3 in the SEC. LSU has an 8-point home advantage currently. And Vanderbilt is not going to go into that building with any kind of fear at this stage.
I'm not,
LSU has no teeth.
it's what time is this kickoff? I didn't see it.
It's LSU.
Of
Of
course,
course,
it's a
they
night
got a
game,
night
right?
game. Of course, they got a night game.
My one thing was like, well, it's Vandy, maybe they'll play him early, but they have the same record, so it's not just Vandy this year, right?
Yo, this is not just your typical Vandy. This is new
Think what?
age, kale drinking Vandy.
I'll tell you what, yeah, night game in Baton Rouge, obviously it's still a hard environment to play. It just it
is.
always is.
Yeah.
But you have a fan base that is almost crossing their fingers to completely turn, like praying that they can turn on Brian Kelly, right?
Right.
And so if anything goes wrong early in this game, you could see a bit of a fan exodus. And if that happens, then it's just a game in a stadium, that's not yours. When you take the fans out of it, it's Baton Rouge isn't intimidating at all.
You're right. I mean,
Now the question is, can Diego Pavia do it? Well, what can LSU not defend, and what can Diego Pavia do?
exactly. See, that's the other thing you have to take into account. This is another running quarterback. This is another mobile quarterback,
And
which, as
another,
we have discovered, is LSU's absolute freaking kryptonite.
well, and in staying in kind of form from my last pick, you know what? I'm going to take Vandy to win this. I
I'm
think
okay with that.
LSU is going to mail it in. I think if they face any legitimate adversity within the first quarter and a half, you're going to see fans leaving to protest Brian Kelly, and
Yeah.
then all Vanderbilt has to do is beat an LSU team that has the same record as them. And so, and this is assuming that Diego Pavia is as 100% as he can be at this point. Yeah, I know he's been dinged up,
Sure.
but I'm going to go on a limb. I've got to pick up some ground with you anyways, so hopefully you pick LSU. But I've got to take Vandy in this one just because I think that would be the funniest shit ever.
Well, and I'm with you. I would love to see Vanderbilt win this game. Absolutely. Looking at LSU, though, I mean, this is certainly a game that you would think that this is a get right in your head game. You know, if you're LSU, you have to get right in your head.
Wasn't that the Florida game though?
It was supposed to be the Florida game. Now you got to do it now. You know, it's like I said, in order to salvage, you know, what anything you can from the season, you got to prove that you've got a little bit of life. And that is exactly why I'm also picking Vanderbilt, because I totally have Pavia and crew going in there and taking care of business. I could totally see them doing this. And you know, Matchup Predictor does not like this game for Vanderbilt. They're giving LSU a 70% chance to win this game.
Oof.
And you know, I look at that, and you know, obviously Vegas knows things, and I mean Vegas really likes LSU in this game too. But I think that there is an X factor, namely being, what is Tiger Stadium? Tiger Stadium is a great, awesome environment when the fans are engaged.
When else she's good.
Yeah, when LSU's good, it's one of the best in the country.
When
When
LSU is
LSU's,
slipping, it's okay.
yeah, it's very, very mid. And it's because you have, unfortunately, you have a lot of the fair weather kind of thought process when it comes to these fans. They just don't care as much.
Yeah,
Especially
it's
when they're and especially when they're struggling. And oh my goodness, been watching LSU Twitter over the last several weeks just
brutal.
deteriorate. It's
Brutal.
insane. I mean, I could get into a whole Longhorn thing that happened the other day, but I'd rather not jump into that because that was just an absolutely insane situation. But talking just strictly on Twitter, watching some of these LSU guys just fall apart. Like they're
Yeah.
losing their minds right now because, I mean, yeah, you lose three games in a row when you were right there as a potential playoff contender. And now you're sitting here, you know, mid-November, which is normally the time that we're already out of the conversation. Nobody's talking about A&M at this point. You know, we're typically like, you know, maybe three, four losses on the
Yeah.
season.
Motor City Bowl, here we come.
Right. Yeah. Music City Bowl. Here we go. We might be lucky to make the Outback Bowl, you know, like one of those situations. No. LSU's in that boat this year.
They don't know how
And
to, and they don't know how to deal with it.
I hate to break it to you, but you're just mid.
Yeah,
Sucks, 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 sucks to suck, but you're mid this year.
this year they are, and I'm thrilled for them, quite frankly.
Oh, I mean, my heart could goes out so much to them.
Yeah. All right, next game, and we've got a lot to talk about around this game. Number 24 Army goes on the road to number, excuse me, not on the road to Yankee Stadium. Number eight Notre Dame, and I hate football games in baseball stadiums, by the way. I'm
Me
just,
too,
I
man.
can't
Me too.
stand that. Army goes to Yankee Stadium, so kind of a home game. You know, New York City's about an hour or so train ride
But
WVU.
Notre Dame fans are everywhere, though.
Oh yeah.
Like I said, Notre Dame, like this is the way I like to explain it to people. Notre Dame Yeah, it kind of falls in the same category as what you see with Packers fans in the NFL, Steelers fans in the NFL, Cowboys
Oh, yeah.
fans in the NFL. They just have pockets of fandom all over the freaking country because,
Lakers,
well,
Cowboys, Dodgers,
right.
Packers, Yankees. Yeah, 100%.
Let's
But
say, yeah.
because it's close enough to West Point, I'll be
Right.
curious if they don't ship the entire core down.
As they should,
They
honestly. I mean,
absolutely should.
they
And
absolutely should.
so,
It should be like what we do when we've played Arkansas, when we send the whole core to AT&T Stadium.
yeah.
I'm way okay with Army doing the same. I think they absolutely should. That'd be
Yeah, no,
amazing.
100%. I think they should. So
Yeah.
Notre Dame's two touchdown favorites. Obviously, it's not surprising. Despite Army being ranked in the top 25, look, they're Service Academy, right? Going up against Notre Dame, who recruits Notre Dame athletes, and Notre Dame absolutely pummeled Navy. Now, funny thing about that game, though, and Army and Navy are obviously very similar in the sense that super run heavy. They're pretty much in the top five rushing yards per game. In the country every single year. Army's right near the bottom at passing, although they're a little bit better than they have been. But what's funny about the Navy game is, well, and I will say that Army, I believe we're leading the nation in it's either scoring efficiency or score. I can't remember what it is. But Navy has 12 turnovers on the year, and six of those came against Notre Dame.
Which is a crazy number.
So if you turn the ball over six times, you're not going to win a lot of football games. In fact, you're going to lose them all, and you're going to lose them ugly.
Yeah, because you can't give up free possessions
And Navy gave up six to Notre Dame, and that's the exact opposite of what you can do. Now, I will say that Army is one of the best in the country when it comes to turnovers. I believe they're in single digits this year with turnovers.
Yeah, let's check that.
And a game like this where you're overmatched, like physically, the last thing you can do is turn the ball over. So the only way Army has a chance at this is to not turn the ball over.
Army has to play a perfect game.
They do. And we saw them damn near do it on the road in Norman, 1 year. Army gives big school scares, and Navy could have at least kept that game respectable if they didn't, six turnovers is insane. And for a service academy, that's bye-bye. That's just not going to happen because service academies generally are not going to create as many turnovers. Now, I will say that Army, like their rushing yards per play, I think they're like 5.5. Every time they touch the ball, they go for like 5.5, which is superior to what Navy is by a good stretch. I believe their defense is is better than Navy's. So I think Army can keep this close. I don't think there's any way that Army can pull out a victory. I don't, unfortunately. But before we pick it, if you haven't seen them yet, go on X, go on Instagram. Army football dropped their uniforms for the Army Navy game. So, because every year the service academies do something different for the Army Navy game. And this year it's the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge and the 101st Airborne being in Bastogne. And they're all black, but across the shoulders and the helmet, it's dusted with white to kind of
The snow.
the snow that was in the woods, in Bastogne, and on the sides of their helmet, they've got the four different symbols, card symbols that the Army used for different outfits. So they've got like the clover and the heart, the spade, and the diamond,
Which I
and they
love.
are just bad to the bone. So if you haven't seen those, definitely go check those out. They're pretty sweet. If they didn't have 101st stuff on them, I'd buy one, but I can't deal with the puking chickens, man. I'm an 82nd guy.
I'll say this in regards to the uniforms. When it comes to the Army Navy game, that might be one of my favorite traditions that has kind of started coming out with initially when they were both with Nike, and now that we got one with Nike, one with Under Armour, but they have continued this tradition of doing special uniforms to highlight various different units, various different
Campaigns, yeah,
campaigns,
that just
whatever.
it,
I
they've
love it.
done so well with it.
Absolutely love it because it's so cool to see that. And you're paying homage to the history of your armed forces, but doing it in a tasteful way that looks good on the football field. And,
They haven't been tacky,
no, every single year they come along with something cool. Like, I guess Navy's helmets several years ago, where it was like kind of they had like the three different stripes. You had like the white shell, then it went kind of like gold, and then it went to Navy after that. And you had the
Yeah.
anchor on the side of the helmet. Love those. Army's had so many good ones.
Yeah, Army had the 82nd one. They had the armored cab, the all sand ones. Remember they did the whiteout ones that year, and it actually snowed at the game, which was hilarious. Like you couldn't see Army on the field.
It's amazing.
Navy, I believe Navy did the Blue Angels on one. They did another one
Oh, the
where,
Blue Angels were so good. I
yeah,
mean,
wherever, like all the midshipmen, I think they all, I mean, they're all hand painted, so they're all obviously a little bit different. They had like aircraft carriers and destroyers on their helm. Like, it's been so much fun. So I'm looking forward to see what Navy drops.
right. Same here.
And obviously looking forward to that game.
I'd say I did want to highlight a couple things about Army that I found fascinating. So looking at their stats on the season, averaging 334, basically 335 yards rushing per game. That is good for first in the nation. 85 passing yards, which is good for 134th in the nation.
Let's go.
But also points for, they're averaging about, 35 and a half points a game. That's good for 21st in the country. And points against, this is the big one. They're only allowing 10.3 points a game against their defense. That is good for second in the country.
And look, their strength of schedule is Dookie. I get it.
Yeah,
Like, I, but I
sure.
understand it. But still, like, but I mean, it's kind of one of those things where even when you play bad opponents, you give up points. You know, it's just kind of part of football.
Yeah.
And so their defense has been fascinating to me this year. I think the defense can will be what keeps them in it, that and just the ground and pound game. Because look, playing against the triple option just wears you down.
Right.
If Navy had been able to hold on to the ball, maybe they, pound Notre Dame into a little bit more submission. They keep it close. I think Army keeps it close. I'd love to see them cover. I don't think there's any way in hell they beat Notre Dame, unfortunately. I wish this game was at Mikey Stadium, but Mikey Stadium is also under construction, so it's,
Makes sense.
yeah, it's just a whole lot of blah.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, so I'm with you. I think it's gonna be Notre Dame, but that being said, I think Army, the best way Army can keep it close in this game is you have to control the ball. Own
and
that time.
hold on to
Yeah,
it.
hold on to it. Hold on to that time of possession. No turnovers, and take full advantage of each of those drives. Go down, score touchdowns,
Yeah,
and wear them about, and wear them out.
and that's one thing that Navy had a hard time as well. When they did hold on the ball, they couldn't convert.
Right. So that's something that Army will have to do. You look at the last couple of games. You win against Air Force. Sure. 20-3. It wasn't
That
any
was a
kind of.
battle of the backup quarterbacks. That was a
It
weird
was.
game. Both teams had backup quarterbacks in. It was such a weird game.
And then UNT. Once again, that's another game. But you want to talk about a good example of what I'm talking about. Look at that drive we talked about last week. I mean, if you can manufacture yourself like a truly incredible little long drives, I mean, that's going to put you in a
It's
good position.
but again, it goes back to talent. And Notre Dame recruits, I would say, in the same vein that LSU does, that all the big boys do. They're Notre Dame.
Yeah, they're
It's
big
not
school.
hard to recruit against them. So, oh well, I do think they'll, I do think that they can cover the spread if they can, that they can, if look, if they can just hold on to the ball, quite frankly, like six turnovers. How does Navy do that? Like, that's not Navy football either, quite frankly.
No. So I think for Army's purposes, if they want to be competitive, obviously do those things we talk about. But that being said, Notre Dame, I think the talent gap is just going to be a little too much.
It's just too big. That's why I'm going with Army.
Yeah. So. Hell yeah. As you
Bro,
said, I mean,
chaos.
I'm okay with chaos. Like I said, I will pick Notre Dame just because, I mean, in reality,
Well, for accuracy,
yeah,
absolutely.
for accuracy,
This
it's
is
got to
com
be.
I'm picking with my heart, not my brain.
Which is totally fine. We've done that several times on the podcast. That's why our record is never going to be that good because we honestly do pick off emotion, and that's
We're
okay.
just above 500.
Wait, say we're just normal men. We're just
Which
innocent men.
and then, well,
We
I mean, we're just kind of
support our.
LSU. We're just kind of LSU this year with our picks. Like, man, we're okay.
We're okay. Yeah, we're pretty.
All right, so that leads us to our game. The Aggies go on the road to Jordan-Hare. Your 15th ranked Fighting Texas Aggies, 2.5 point favorites on the road against an Auburn team that is 1-5 in conference. Their one win coming against a basketball school.
Yeah, I mean, you take care of your business against Kentucky, sure. But even so, I mean, you lose to Vanderbilt at home. You lose to Mizzou on the road. You lose to Georgia in not great fashion. Yeah, you have an outstanding little freshman wide receiver that looked outstanding against ULM.
Yeah, womp.
Womp. Okay, so you beat the team that you were supposed to beat. Woo. You still gave up 14 points to them. So now you've got to sit back and look at the rest of this schedule. And really, nothing on here really stands out to me with Auburn. It's just
Lost to Cal, lost to Arkansas, lost to Oklahoma, lost to Georgia, lost to Mizzou, beat
yeah.
Kentucky, lost to Vandy, beat up on Louisiana Monroe. And maybe that's maybe that game and that score was the reasoning behind us only being 2.5 on the road. Maybe it's us losing in South Carolina, but if you're trying to tell me South Carolina and Auburn are anywhere on the same planet, I'm going to laugh in your face.
They aren't right now. Nobody will tell you that right now. I mean, once again, we've got the line. Predictors liking us in this game. I
Look, Auburn's a great venue,
sure.
and it's sold out, and they'll be there, and I get it. But man, they'll leave quickly if we can get up on them fast again, like we always talk about quick starts.
Quick starts on
But
the road.
I cannot see a world where we drop this to Auburn. Auburn cannot take care of the ball. All
No.
right. They're bad. All right. Like Auburn's just bad. There's no way to cut that. They're 4-6 overall. They're 1-5 in conference. They're 3-4 at home. They're about to be 3-5. I've got the Ags, and I've got the Ags comfortably.
I really hope that's where we're at. Like I said, I'm gonna pull. Obviously, I'm gonna pick the Aggies, but I want to see us in this particular game. I think the big thing is going to be protecting the ball, taking advantage of your drives. Let's be a little creative on offense. Feel free to use those tight ends a bit. Let's spread it around. Because they're going to stack that box against the running game. So if
Yeah,
we,
two tight end sets. Split the tight ends out. Spread
yeah.
out. Spread Auburn out.
And you know what?
And
That worked
then,
excellently against New Mexico State. Granted, it's New Mexico State, but it worked. So you gotta go out there and do your job. And this is the
and
same New Mexico State. I won't say the same New Mexico State team, but a New Mexico State team that beat Auburn last year at their place.
yeah, this is look. Win the turnover battle. I think we'll win it by two or three. I really do. I would love to see us take care of the ball. I think we're going to get some turnovers. I think we're going to get three turnovers. Now, whether that means we're plus two or plus three, I've got a good feeling about this game. I know everybody's been gloom and doom about it, but I like the Aggs in this game. I like them to win by 10 to 14 points.
That'd be nice.
If the Aggs get up big early, like if the Aggs can get up to 10 points early, I could see them like dog walk in Auburn. I
Like I
really
said,
could because Auburn knows they're 4-6.
I think what you got to do is just, you get up on them early and take the spirit out of them. That's essentially what we did not do in the South Carolina game. You got to give them the same business that you gave Florida. You got to get up
Don't
on
let their crowd try
them.
and
Right.
take over.
Nope. Get up on them. Get them early. And if you can take the crowd out of the game early and you really start putting some points on them, they'll start leaving.
I would like a perfect scenario for me would be to win the toss, defer, go on defense, and get a turnover.
That'd be amazing.
Like open the game with a turnover, let them know how you play defense.
Oh, and
So.
that was one thing that we did not discuss about the New Mexico State game that I really did like. Tackling significantly
Sure.
better. I
Right.
mean, granted, I understand that's it's New Mexico State, but I will say this for New
It's
Mexico
also
State.
not a real high bar coming off South Carolina.
No, not a great bar coming off South Carolina. But what you did see out of the defense was a much better defensive performance in terms of wrapping up, getting good tackles. You had a couple of runs where the guy kind of bounced out, did his thing, but New Mexico State also threw in the wrinkle of multiple different quarterbacks. They were showing two different guys, one guy that was more of a mobile guy, one guy that was more of a pocket guy, and you shut them both down. So if you can do that against Auburn, I like our options. And really looking at Thorne, I mean
He's just not a very good quarterback. He's
he's not
too turnover prone. He just is.
right. So
All you
force
gotta do
those
is
turnovers.
pressure him and force him into throw into. And honestly, I don't see how Auburn doesn't have a better quarterback on the roster, quite frankly. If you
Sure.
pressure him into throws, he's always gonna make the wrong decision. This is what it feels like with Auburn.
Yeah, so we create those pressure opportunities, you're gonna force turnovers.
Yeah.
It will come around. I don't know if we're gonna get a bunch of turnovers in this game. It'll be nice.
I have faith in the defense getting after Auburn and turning them over, like to the point where Auburn tries another quarterback kind of thing. And if that happens, it's game over.
Yeah, so
Because if you're trying a quarterback that can't beat out Peyton Thorne, then I like our chances.
gig 'em all day. So
Yeah. All right. So we got a couple questions, don't we?
We got at least one. Let's go take a peek.
Yeah. So Jive Coach G, always thanks for listening, man.
Appreciate you.
I'm sure you are just as sick of the international break as I am.
Yeah,
He says, Job Coach G says, we take care of business at Auburn. We have a classic in Kyle. So how would y'all be spending Friday before the game? Campus sponsored yell practice and concerts or student bonfire?
Good question to ask.
Huh. Well, I mean, yell practice is early that night so people so the team can be there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, let's answer this and then I forgot something I wanted to say about this weekend.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know yet. The day after Thanksgiving with family, I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna be in town, quite frankly. I might have to skip down to spring. So I might go to yell practice and then out to bonfire because you can do both.
Yeah.
Mean, you can do it both.
And the concert on campus over at Reed, I'm sure that'll be fun. We've got Randy Rogers in the building, you got Pat Green, and Shane Smith and the Saints, right? Which
It's a fantastic lineup.
that's a great lineup of bands. I know the Shane Smith guys really well. They're awesome. Any chance I have a chance to go see them, I probably will. So,
Nice.
but the nice part is where I'm located in town, like on the north side of Bryan. I mean, I've got pretty easy access to get out there to st the student bonfire if I wanted to go. I think, and I think if you're going to go to bonfire, this is a hell of a year to do it because once again, it's for Texas finally, and there's a different energy about it when it's for Texas.
It will be insane.
Right. So if you've never been, it's a great opportunity to go.
Well, and in the meantime, between now and then, pray for all the rain in the world. It's been
Yeah,
dry. It's
it has
been
been
dry,
really
but
dry.
so keep praying for rain. Well, real quick, before we get on I know we got another
Yeah,
question.
we got one more.
My wish for when game day is here, because I just can't imagine they're not going to be here, right?
They'll be
But if
here.
it's not game day, it's got to be SEC Nation.
Somebody will be here. There'll be a broadcast team
Maybe
here.
somebody, right? The Lions play on Thanksgiving Day. If the guest picker is Dan Campbell, I might go streaking.
I would love
And
to get Campbell.
especially if
Oh.
he's around and you can get him in that locker room and give one of those Dan Campbell speeches, like, bro, give me some pads and a helmet.
I'm about to say I'm gonna run through about 15 walls if that happens. I mean,
Yeah,
could you
dude.
imagine? Could you imagine Dan Campbell in the locker room standing next to Mike Elko talking to our boys about how important this game is and talking about a guy who knows this rivalry, has lived it well, and has
Yes.
won in it. I mean, this is a guy who's gonna know that,
All right, we gotta calm down. I'm
about
getting
anyway.
oof, I'm getting too
That's
excited.
very, I want
Hey
that.
man, you need to focus on Auburn. If you don't
Yeah,
focus on
because
Auburn, the football team's gonna lose.
right, yeah, because if I'm a fan and I'm focusing on not Auburn, I guess
Oh my God,
I'm the
dude,
reason.
bro, if it's Dan Campbell, I'm gonna freak.
I
If
hope
we
it
find
is.
out it's Dan Campbell, I will go to game day.
Well, and everybody's been talking about it. Everybody wants that. And I think college football could use that because it's a good bridge to show the connection of the two sports. I mean, you've got it.
And
Yeah.
watch A&M PR will go, well, Roger Craiger's in town. Why not just him?
Who gives a? I love Roger
I
Krager.
love Roger Craiger, but bro, if it's between Roger Craiger and Dan Campbell,
Give me Dan
come
Campbell all day.
on. Yeah.
We're talking football here, damn it.
Yeah.
We're talking
All
football.
right. We got another question?
Yeah,
Then
one
we'll
more
close out
question.
with
So this is from Zach or Z Fall Gout One. He had a question for us. He said, "Do the Aggies end up with more wins at Jerry World than the Cowboys by the end of the NFL season? They've got the Giants on Thanksgiving, Bengals, Bucks, Commanders."
Okay, one dick question. Two, completely valid. I'm a Cowboys fan. Completely valid question. So what it's Giants, Bengals, Bucks, and DC, right?
Commanders. Yeah, and the Giants. Yeah, exactly. You got Giants, Bengals, Bucks, Commanders, DC.
Okay,
Washington football team.
so what they haven't won at home yet, right? So that means they would have to win two of those. I do have confidence in them winning on Thanksgiving because the Giants just benched David Jones.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm feeling good about that because if you watched the Texans game, the defense was doing everything they could to try and keep the Cowboys in that game.
They
Cooper
tried.
Rush just sucks, man.
He's not very good.
But the Texans are an exponentially better team than the Giants are.
They are.
So I think they can tie the Aggs with the Thanksgiving win, right? That I generally nap through the first half of that game,
Sure.
hit the turkey, grab a nap, wake up around halftime, catch Creed standing on the star singing, and then
Amazing. Still my favorite shirt I own is that shirt.
I don't think there's any way they can beat the Bengals. Joe Burrow is too much for them.
Bucks.
The Bucks without Mike Evans, and they've got a lot of injuries. The Bucks are in a bad way. I could maybe see them biting the Bucks, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't think there's any way they can beat the Commanders.
Maybe a game or two.
Of those three, because I'm saying they're going to beat the Giants.
Yeah.
So that's one, right? So they tie the eggs.
Sure.
I just, man, I think there's no way with the Commanders. I don't see it. Their offense is pretty high powered.
No, they look good.
It's weird. Like, I don't feel like it's as much of a rivalry anymore because they're not called the Redskins. You know what I'm
Yeah, I
saying?
know, I know. And we could get into that at some
Well,
point.
and they should have called them the Sentinels, by the way. I thought that would have been a way cooler name.
You know, honestly, if they were going to stick with anything, I think the Washington football team was at least,
I was fine with that too.
I was cool with it. Yeah.
I just I don't man, I don't see it. The Bengals, I've got Joe Burrow on my fantasy team, so like I've been keeping up with the Bengals, and they're not great, but Joe Burrow, even he can throw for 300, 400 yards, three to
Yeah.
four, five touchdowns, like it's nothing. And I think it also depends on who can get healthy for the defense. If they can turn back, if they can get back to a little bit more of a lockdown, Parsons was back last night, but it's still not all the parts. They're missing parts. So, you know what? I'm not going to be an optimist with the Cowboys. I say that they don't
Match
have
it.
more. I think they tie. I think they beat the Giants. I think the Cowboys maybe have like 5 wins on the season, 4 wins. They're a bad football team.
Somebody pulled up a really interesting stat, a couple of things in regards to the Cowboys in this situation. The fact that Texas A&M, the Texans, and Jake Paul all have more wins at AT&T than the Cowboys this year. Or the
That
fact,
tracks. Mm-hmm.
this is the big one to me. Every single major sports franchise in the United States has a home win this season in the year of 2024, either baseball, soccer, hockey, everything. Everybody has a home win this year at their home stadium, except for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I think
That's
they'll get one.
crazy. They'll get
I
something.
mean, they could maybe jump up and get the Bengals. Bengals or the Bucks would be your only shot at getting a second win.
Yeah.
They're not going to go on any sort of run. It's not going to happen. Cooper Rush is not good at football. All
No.
right, he can't push the ball downfield. He can't hit routes in the flat. Everybody's stacking the box. So even if Rico Dowdle was awesome, it's not going to matter. I think he's a really good back. I've got him on fantasy team, as a matter of fact. But without Dak Prescott, there's no threat. So it's easy to defend the Cowboys. And at that point, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So it is what it is. But hey, I do want to say,
Cowboys suck. I kind of hope they lose out. We could use some draft picks.
but thank you guys for the questions, and we appreciate getting
Yes.
some questions otherwise. You mentioned that, and this is some stuff we want to really dig into. So yeah, we obviously talk a lot of sports on here. But you had mentioned the Penguin TV show, and there's a lot of other TV shows
Oh yeah,
and
just
things that we
real
want to
quick,
touch
I
on.
wanted to
Yeah.
mention it. So the last episode was on Sunday. It's a super short series. I could see them doing it again, but apparently Colin Farrell is done with putting on that mask and all the makeup that's required. And I'm like, dude, I can limp. I can do the voice. Pay me $3 million, and I'll give you another 8 episodes. But if you haven't seen The Penguin, it's a little dark. All right, it's
Sure.
not for kids necessarily. But it's on Max. I thought it was. I gave it a shot with the first episode. I loved it. Obviously, the Penguin. I think we talked about this maybe a couple months ago. Obviously, the Penguin from Batman. It's like the origin of the Penguin, but it's a much darker kind of take on it.
Yeah.
You will not recognize Colin Farrell because the makeup is that intense.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. Finished it up last night. And obviously Yellowstone's back in swing. And so in order, because you get so spoiled in the world of streaming, right?
Oh, no doubt.
And so I didn't start watching Yellowstone when it started. I started like 2 years in, so I was able to like binge the whole damn thing pretty much.
Yeah.
And now that it started back, I don't want to watch an episode and have to wait a week. So the wife and I went back and watched 1883, binged that, and now we're currently binging 1923 in an effort to build up Yellowstone episodes so I can binge those. So no spoilers on Yellowstone, but
I would really love to actually finally jump into that series. I understand the impact of that series a lot just because of its impact on my music scene above all else, really. I mean, it's a great series
But
from
you've never seen, you haven't seen Yellowstone yet.
I have not. I've seen like an episode here and there. I've seen some clips, but I haven't like sat down and watched it just because everybody was talking about it. It kind of reminds me of like breaking. Yeah, it
I'm the
kind of reminds
same
me of
way.
like
If everybody's talking about it, I'm like, dude, I'm out. I don't like this.
I want to wait a little bit because I don't like getting caught up in the hype of week to week because that happened with Breaking Bad, that happened with Game of Thrones, especially towards the end, and of course with Game of Thrones at the end, with them extending that series and not doing the final season for like a 2 years after the previous season, and it was kind of a flop, really, the end of Game of Thrones, so that ended up being a big issue for a lot of people. I'm
Yeah,
obviously not.
Yellowstone, like the one thing about Yellowstone with Kevin Costner taking that break to make the, was it Horizon films or whatever it is, which I
Yeah.
love the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
I need to
But
sit
to
down and watch
make,
it.
yeah, to make those films and then, but come back. I feel like it, Tombstone or Tombstone. I feel like Yellowstone, it'll be quality. You got everybody back, same writer, same producer. Right? It's, everything's the same. They just had to pause so we could make like those epic films basically. So yeah, you definitely got to watch Yellowstone. And then a movie that I'm looking forward to, it releases on Friday, is Gladiator 2.
I've heard kind of mixed things
I'm gonna
early.
let it hit the theaters and listen first to reviews.
What?
So,
Am I gonna watch it? Yeah. No, no
huh?
question. As I am I gonna watch it? Absolutely. The question's just gonna be, am I gonna go into it as positive or negatively? And I think a lot of that just goes back to obviously historical precedent. When it comes to historic movies, I unfortunately fall in the category of the history buff crew at this stage. So I'm really hyper focused on accuracy to the era, doing things right. And when it comes
Nerd.
I you know and when it comes down to it, that's the reason why I love certain movies. We talk about all kinds of stuff, and the reason why I really like the series Band of Brothers, it does a good job of keeping the history and doing it right. Do they embellish a little bit? Sure. Do they kind of combine stories of multiple guys into one person for the purposes of storytelling? Yes. But they keep the spirit of the era and get it right. And that was something that was so vastly important to me, was getting the history right. And that's another reason why, we talk about historical movies. One that came out last year that absolutely pissed me off, and that was Napoleon. It
I
was,
did not see that.
it's not good, dude. Don't even bother.
It's not
It's not good, man. Like everything,
good.
they might as well have just called the movie Josephine because it was so hyper focused on the relationship and not the history. And even the battles that we got were not accurate. It was hyper focused on making him just this kind of beta male who was always submitting to her and all this other crap. And I'm like, this is not the Napoleon, the great general of our history that went in there and kicked ass for years against all of Europe. And we didn't even get to really see that. Those are the type of things that piss me off in movies.
So would you
Now,
say that the Napoleon and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was more accurate?
probably, which is scary to say. I mean,
Yeah,
now, if you want to talk about a great historical movie to watch, just as a sprinkle in here, go check out the old Waterloo movie. It's free on YouTube right now. And that was made back in the 70s. And it could not be more accurate in terms of getting the formations right, to getting the movements right, and above all else, focusing, hyper focusing in on the tactics. They did that extremely well for one battle, And if you could take that for one battle and you started kind of moving that into other movies, that's always impressive to me. But on a,
there's your nerdery for the day.
about to say on a more fun note, kind of getting back into Taylor Sheridan there. We were talking about obviously Yellowstone. One thing I really love about Taylor was when the Four Sixes Ranch went for sale, he purchased it. Not only buys it, but maintains the entire staff because the whole point was that it had to be a working ranch, and it still is. He kept everybody around, but now that
I
allows.
actually just bought some he's got like a line of like seasonings and rubs and stuff. I
Yeah.
actually just bought some the other day. I saw it and I
Nice.
was like, well, I'll give it a shot.
Well, and what's really cool is, he's continuing to do these projects, and we've talked about it before on this podcast, but one movie that he's wanting to do out there, and now that he has the Four Sixes, he could get it fairly accurate. And that is doing Empire of the Summer Moon.
Yeah.
Being able to film out there in the plains and being able to do, the Red River War stuff. I'm really, really excited at that prospect of being able to
Oh, he's
nail,
got another show coming out called Oil Man.
which did premiere, and they already focused in and brought in Treaty Oak Revival on a couple of songs. And so you are seeing the continuation of Taylor Sheridan embracing the Texas country music scene, boosting those guys. And I mean, you talk about the actors in that show. I mean, Billy Bob Thornton is the main focus, which is perfect out in West Texas.
Yeah, who's the other male lead in that? I can never remember his name.
Let's see.
He did the movie about like the tobacco industry.
Right. Yeah. So you had Billy Bob Thornton in there. You got John Hamm.
John Hamm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Demi Moore's
I
in that, I
mean,
believe.
Demi Moore's in there. Yeah. Kayla Wallace is in there. I mean, everything I'm seeing about this show looks really, really damn good. I
Another one
want.
I'm gonna have to give it some time so I can binge it.
Exactly. I'm in the same boat. I want to go check out that show just because it's very close to home for me. I mean, they're talking about, being out West Texas, Southeast New Mexico. That's my region.
Yeah.
So I understand that. And so being able to get plugged in with that would be really, really cool. But
All right, we went a little long this week, but
we
so
did,
be
but we had
it.
fun with it, right? And as long as
Yes.
y'all are having fun with it too, then we're
We
having fun.
will be doing a podcast next week. We
Yes.
will be. It's
Yes.
Thanksgiving week, but we do it Monday. We'll probably do it Monday next week just to get it knocked out so I can start focusing on Thanksgiving
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
and everything that comes with that weekend.
Yeah, and to give you an idea on my week that week, so we're off for shows until we go out to Vegas in December. So that will be the NFR. I'll highlight that when we get a little closer. So if anybody's going to the NFR and wants to come see us, we'll be out there. But before we get into that, obviously got Thanksgiving this week. I'm driving up to New Mexico on Wednesday, Thursday, go do Thanksgiving with my grandmother at her house in Tatum. Then we're heading up Friday to go to Lubbock. We actually have a excuse me, bad coffee burp there. We're going up to Lubbock for a family friend. It's going to be her 65th birthday. So we're going
Funny
to
is as you said Lubbock, you broke up as if you were using Lubbock internet.
go. Yeah, pretty darn close. But,
You know what? The committing to the bit, you're a professional, Rob.
I live to serve and do my job, man. But we'll go up there to Lubbock. Should be a good time. And then pretty much Saturday morning, as bright and early as I can, I'm hauling ass south because I want to get back in town in time for the game.
Right
Whether
on.
I'm at the game or not, if I'm watching it at the lounge or not, if I get to go tailgating, I'm going to be in and around. I'm looking forward to it. But obviously, Auburn first. We got to get through those Tigers.
And there may be a collab coming up that we'll be able to share as well.
Yes, we will confirm that this week. I'll be touching on with our guy, and we'll try to get that sorted
So,
before the,
yes.
and we'll try to get this rolling.
See, we can't pull out some stops for TU week.
Yeah, let's have a little bit of fun with it. But anyhow, be sure to follow us on our socials. You know where we're at. Everything's here on YouTube. You can see it here, or if you're listening online, streaming, be sure to catch us, Rob White, Rob the Slapper, over on X. Twitter and all that fun stuff, Roy May 15 and Roy May Jr. on Twitter, Instagram. We love
Instagram,
you
yeah.
guys. We thank
And
you so much for
if you have
listening.
questions throughout the week, like if questions pop up during the week you guys want to answer, just shoot them in the DMs instead of like tagging us. Just shoot them in the
Yeah.
DMs and we'll make sure we answer them.
And you can send them to Roy, send them to me, send them to the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll take questions any way you want to give them to us. And
Yeah.
we do love it. We thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Gig 'em. Beat the
Beat the hell out of
ever-loving
Auburn.
hell out of Auburn.
Go
Yes.
Army, beat Notre Dame.
Yes.
Y'all have a great weekend. The holiday season is almost upon us.
Yes. So get stocked up. Have yourselves a great week. Gig 'em. See y'all next time.